is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, dear friends. We're going to continue our wonderful series. It's wonderful because it's right out of the pages of God's holy word. Mystery of 153 fish. That's what we're talking about. And what a series this is. I'll tell you, I was just so excited about this series. Mystery of 153 fish. The 153 fish. The question is, are you one of them? You see, the 153 fish are symbolic, but are you one of them? Has Christ chosen you? Are you part of Him? Oh, wow. I mean, this is good news. So often we have prophetic information to give out and people get frightened and fearful. They shouldn't be. Because, you know, the Bible says not a hair of your head is not counted. I'm telling you, my friends, even the scientists don't know how many cells you have in your body, but God does. He is so intelligent. It defies the imagination. And through His will, He's able to cause the whole world to shape up just the way it's been shaping up. Nothing happens by accident. Don't you believe it? You may say, well, I was just driving along and somebody ran out in front of me and I banged my front fender. It was just bad luck. No, no, no. Somehow or other, I'm not saying all things that are good happen to you if you're a Christian. You know, the rain falls on the bad and the good of this world, and so does the sunshine. But listen to me. God has a purpose behind it all. I'm convinced of that. And yet we have freedom of choice. Isn't that an amazing thing? Oh, we're going to fight with a Calvinist here today, and yet I believe both sides are right. Those people who say we have no choice, God is sovereign, and He does what He wants, and we are just lashed around by God because He does what He wants. He's sovereign. He's divine. I believe that. But wait. God says He's given you the power to choose. You can condemn yourself. You know, Jesus said He did not come to condemn people. He came to save them. That's an amazing statement. Jesus did not come to judge. But if He does judge, His judgment is fair. You say, well, that's contradictory. That's because you can't understand Jesus then. You better just get in line. There's a lot of things you're not going to understand in this world. Hey, I don't understand how I can just take a remote control and turn on the TV and suddenly there's images, there's pictures. I don't know how that happens. I suppose there's a few, you know, technological people out there that can explain it all to me. Maybe. Although I really doubt if they understand how somehow the waves go out over the world system, the natural system. But I know this much. God understands all things. And we should just listen to what He says. A man asked me a question one day. He said, Tex, I want to ask you a question. This man was an atheist. He said, how is it that Jesus was baptized? I said, yes. By John the Baptist, I said, right. And at that moment, a dove alit on his shoulder. And you say that symbolized the Holy Spirit. I said, that's right. And then a voice was heard from heaven. I said, that's right. And the voice said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. I said, well, I'm glad you read the Bible, my friend. That's wonderful. He said, now, that was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I said, yes. They're all supposed to be one, but they evidently were separate. How do you explain that, he said. Well, I'm going to have to take a whole sermon to explain that, maybe here on Bible Home Church. But let me just simplify things for you today, my friends. Even the physicists today, the quantum physicists, the people that are winning the highest awards as scientists, are beginning to discover that things that seem to be separated are joined, synchronized. Somehow what we do on this side of the world affects what goes on in the other side of the world. And what happens in the farthest parts of the universe seems to affect what happens here on Earth. Somehow everything that occurs seems to be connected in some strange way, linked. You say there were three, a voice, a symbol of a bird, and then the Son himself being baptized. You say they were all separate. Is that just what you perceived? Is your perception incorrect? This is the point, my friends. This is the point we're talking about. When your body dies, does your spirit leave? The Bible says so. You're a living soul, but when you die, your spirit goes on one place or the other. How does that occur? Can doctors, have they done autopsies on people and found the spirit? Well, I assume not. Can they put you in some kind of a nuclear magnetic radiation machine or an X-ray and find the spirit lurking somewhere? Where is it lurking? Is it somewhere in the brain? Somewhere in the heart? Maybe it's in your left big toe. I don't know. But somewhere within you is that spirit. You were born with it. But of course, if you're born again, God makes it over and you have a new spirit. Become a new person in Christ. How can that happen? Oh, there are mysteries, are there not? And you know, Jesus explained some things in parables. And he said it's not given to those outside the kingdom to know these things. And friends, there are some mysteries that those in the kingdom do not know. And I don't think your brain is able to even fathom it. I was reading a famous physicist, and that used to be a hobby of mine, to read what all these quantum physicists and such were saying. The supposed brains of science. One man said, I believe the world is so queer that man's brain is too puny to even ask the questions to get the answers to explain it. Did you hear what I just said? The world is so queer, he meant strange. He didn't mean it was, you know, gay, homosexually. The world is so strange and bizarre and weird, he said. And man's brain is so puny, it's unable to figure out what questions to ask scientifically, so as to acquire the answers to understand it. The world's strange, but you can't even figure out. You're not smart enough to even know what questions to ask. I'm sure there are many guilty men that have been tried for murder and other horrible crimes, and they've been let go. They go scot-free because the prosecuting attorney is too stupid to ask the right questions to people on the stand. Somebody kept bugging me one time, trying to get me to say something, and they kept saying, what is the answer? What is the answer? And I turned around and said, you haven't asked the right question. They said, well, what is the right question I'm supposed to ask you? I said, that's your problem. They were just harassing me. They were non-Christians. They were demanding an answer. I says, well, ask me the right question. The questions you've been asking me are inoperative. They make no sense. Ask the right question, and I'll answer you. They said, I don't know what the right question is. I said, exactly. Exactly. You don't know. You're ignorant. but you're acting like you know so much. Friends, listen, I'm gonna admit to you. There are many mysteries in the Bible. Every time I read the Bible, I come upon mysteries that I'm gonna tell you, I just want to unravel. And my mind sits there. I sit there, I should say. My mind doesn't. But I sit there with my mind pondering, questioning, trying to figure some things out. And I have to pray, Lord, reveal these things to me. I think some things, my mind, your mind, it's impossible for us to ascertain the truth, to discover the amazing things, the wonderful things that God holds for us. We can't even begin to understand them. And that's the beauty of God's Word. That's the beauty of what God has done. Somebody also asked me, what education level do you think a person has to be before they can begin to understand the Bible? It's another one of those stupid questions. You didn't ask the right question. It doesn't have anything to do with educational level. It has to do with discernment given by God, wisdom given by God. Some of the people considered the dumbest in the world with no formal education have the greatest understanding and wisdom. Because they've been given it by God. They've been given a gift of wisdom. And some of the men that we consider the smartest, the Einsteins of the world, are just idiots to God. We give them. We heap rewards on them. Look at this man. Give him the Nobel Prize. Give him the whatever. God looks down and says, they're giving this prize to this idiot. And there's Joe Schmo over there with a third grade education. I've made him wiser. You say, Tex, I don't believe that. Well, you just don't know the Bible. The Bible says God takes very base things to confound the world. He takes things that you may think are stupid and he confounds people with them. And I believe sometimes he does that to human beings. You know, when I debated Madeline Murray O'Hare, head of the American Atheist Foundation one time. She said, why is it that an educated man like you, a college teacher, an Air Force officer, why is it that you're so stupid to believe in this Christian religion? Well, again, she didn't ask the right question. That was a stupid question. I was asked that on a radio talk show, one of the most popular talk shows in America, and I was asked that question. The same question, a stupid question. Benjamin Krim, who called himself the forerunner for this Lord Maitreya, the New Age Messiah to come. He said, why is it that every time I ask you a question, you pick up that Bible and just read from that Bible? Don't you have any intelligence of your own? He said to me. I said, the one who has the greatest intelligence in all the universe wrote this book. Why should I go to my little bitty, meager, puny mind for an answer when the answer is right here in this book? And I'm telling you, he just began to stammer. And he was just so frustrated and upset because every time he came up with something, I said, well, now here's what the Word of God says about that. Don't you have any intelligence of your own? He says, why do you keep using that book? Well, because the greatest mind in the world wrote this book. I'd be an idiot for not using the book. In fact, I think Benjamin Krim is an idiot for not using the book. That's why he literally worships a false Christ that he calls Lord Maitreya. Friends, listen very carefully. Are you one of the 153 fish? We're going to have a little song here, and we're going to have then today's part of the mystery of the 153 fish. But first, we'd love to hear from you. If God calls on you, please support this ministry. We're not going to beg, but you know we need your help. We don't need to beg. We just tell God's people we need help. And I believe God will take care of it. And I think you will too. I have faith in that. And I'm stepping out on faith, knowing that you'll help us in this ministry, and I appreciate your help even in advance. So many of you will help. Help us go around the world with this message of assurance that Jesus is Lord. There is none other. He has a Bible. It is the King James Bible. It is 100% accurate, absolutely, unequivocally. Don't argue with me about it. It's just true. And now, Sister Vestal Goodman, she went on to be with the Lord. She was a great lady of the faith, Vestal Goodman. Just prior to that, her husband, Happy Goodman, of the Goodman family, the gospel singing greats, he died. And then Vestal went on to be with him. Let me tell you something, I miss her myself. What a great voice she had. What a great gift. Lovely, lovely lady. And the only consolation is I am grief-stricken by Vestal Goodman leaving this earth, but she's happy. She's where she should be. She's where she was foreordained to be from the very beginning. She was chosen by God. She's the fortune. We're the ones left behind. We're here sitting here grieving for her, and I know her family's really hurt. I feel so sorry for them, but listen to me. She's not in any hurt. She had a heart attack, I believe it was. She got flu or something back in the holiday period. This, and just came up with a flu or something and died. Friends, you don't know when you're going to go. And she was a little advanced in years. She wasn't that old. Well, I shouldn't say that. Some people probably would think it's old. I think she was probably in her 70s. But listen to me. She was in great health, looked good. But God just wondered. I believe that does happen sometime. You're just such a wonderful person. I think God just wants you up there with him. She's probably up there singing in heaven now. I don't know. I can't say for sure. Maybe she wants to do something else in heaven. Maybe she's had enough of singing. I doubt it. Vestal Goodman. She's going to sing a song for you now. There's something about a mountain. This is on one of the Gaither Homecoming albums. Vestal Goodman, There's Something About a Mountain.
Though sometimes I'm disappointed by the friends that I hold dear. I refuse to be defeated by the ghost of doubt and fear. I could think about my weakness, keep my eyes upon. Oh, but my help comes from the mountain that brings me close to God.
Oh, there's something about a mountain that reaches to the sky, that speaks of things eternal, of a hope.
Like a blessing from the angels.
Listen to me, my friends. God is speaking to many people today through dreams and visions. I know He is. And the Bible said He would. He said He would. He has always done this with His people. Now, here's the real key. If a person comes to me and says, I had this dream, I believe it is of a prophetic nature, I say, well, tell me your dream. The real key is, does it line up with Scripture? There are many false dreamers out there that have imaginations of their own heart. They're not of God. And they reveal themselves to be imposters because what they say doesn't line up with God. If a person comes to you and says, I had a dream, I had a vision, I believe it's from God, you may listen to them, sometimes with prophets, sometimes you're simply wasting your time. These are evil people are deceived. Sometimes they deceive themselves. I get these deceivers and imposters come up to me or send me descriptions of their dreams and visions all the time. I don't pay them any heed. I throw them in the trash can. But if it lines up with the Word of God, I might be led by the Holy Spirit to pray and ask God if this not be so. And I want you to do that. Be a good Berean. Be very noble as the Bible calls the Bereans and discover for yourself if what I say is truth. I had this dream three times, the same dream over three nights. I woke up each time. And I told Wanda about my dream. And I want to discuss it with you because it has significance. I'm convinced. Now, it's up to you to determine whether it meets the specifications of the Word of God. If it doesn't, then cast it out. Then Tex Morris is a false prophet. If it does, then fine. God can speak to us in prayer as we meditate on His Word. As we get on our knees, He speaks to us. But listen, everything He says will not violate His Word. Did you understand that? That's the key. Now, in my dream, I realized we were already in the midst of a great police state network. In this dream, I knew the authorities were hunting for me. They had Tex Mars on their computer list, and they had my face. And many others as well, but they were looking for me. They were ruthlessly hunting me down. But nevertheless, I had heard of this great meeting of the few patriots that were left. They were going to have a big meeting in this auditorium. Evidently, they still had the ability to meet together, although the government was already looking for individuals to arrest them and take them away to concentration camps. In my dream, I determined I was going to go and be with God's people, no matter what. I was going to go there. I wasn't scheduled to be a speaker or an important person. I wanted to be with God's people as they met in this auditorium. I don't know how many there were, maybe 700 or 800 of them. It wasn't like Yankee Stadium or Woodstock with 100,000 people. It was a nice-sized meeting. Surprisingly, the courage these people were displaying by being there right in the midst of Big Brother's evil police state. And I went, and there I was in the audience, sitting in a chair, listening to the speakers as they spoke up and courageously confronted Big Brother and the evil police state and the Illuminati. And they were exposing these things and pointing people to Scripture. And I sat there, but I noticed there were cameras going and they were recording everyone that was there. And there were police, yes, even uniformed police, and there were plainclothes agents of the FBI and such, and they were going through the crowd and they were looking for certain people whom they've identified were to be arrested. I knew I was one of those people. But they didn't seem to see me. And then as I left the meeting that day, I came out of this auditorium and I walked out on the sidewalk. There was a policeman, and I had to pass right in front of him. And I believe he had my picture. He was looking for me specifically. Here we have the growth of the police state, almost complete. And the federal agents are looking for certain people. I was one of them, hunting us down. But there are still some brave men willing to tell the truth, and women, of course. And as I walked out of this auditorium, There was a policeman in full uniform, and he was stopping certain people and asking for their ID card, for their papers. And I said, this is it. This is where I'm arrested and taken away to the gulag, to the concentration camp. But as I came to him, he looked up at me right eye to eye, face to face. He didn't say a word. He let me pass him.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.